I greet all of you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As we are meditating on the theme, Receiving God's Word for our church camp, I believe that it is also appropriate to also consider why it is so important to receive the Word of God. And in this regard, our text this evening shows to us why it is so important to receive God's Word, and not only to receive God's Word, but to receive God's Word rightly. And that is the rightly dividing of the Word of Truth part. But in our text this evening, we have an urgent appeal from the Apostle Paul. We believe the epistle that was written by the Apostle Paul to Timothy was his perhaps last epistle that he wrote. And he would have written this towards the tail end of his ministry, towards the end of his life. And after he has served the Lord for these various years, he had gained much experience in the ministry. He has seen the faithfulness of the Lord. He has seen how the Lord worked in his own life, and he can testify how the Lord is good. And in this epistle, the Apostle Paul will speak first of his own testimony in the ministry, and then now he wants to encourage young Timothy to also press on in the ministry ahead. And what are then these exhortations and these words that the Apostle Paul will now bring to young Timothy? Considering that the times are so urgent, and considering how he is going to part from them soon, what are these words that he wants to leave for young Timothy? Now in our text, in chapter 2, Apostle Paul gave various pictures of what a pastor ought to be. Now the second epistle of the Apostle Paul to Timothy was a pastoral epistle. And he was giving first several pictures to young Timothy to show him what a pastor ought to be. And really, the lesson and the principles here do not just apply to pastors. It applies to every Christian. But he used various pictures to show the labor, the diligence, the endeavor that Timothy had to continue in the ministry. And this picture would be described from verse 1 all the way to verse 13. And then from verse 14 onwards, all the way to verse 26, the Apostle Paul will go into the specifics of the duties that Timothy had to engage in. At the same time, he would also speak of the various struggles and the warnings that Timothy had to issue in the church, because there were various struggles and issues that the church were facing that Timothy had to deal with. So this epistle really is a pastoral epistle written to Timothy to encourage Timothy in the ministry. But at the same time, its lessons, its principles are very much applicable to us. Because you will notice that while these instructions were given to Timothy, the Apostle Paul did tell Timothy to give the same instructions, put these same things in remembrance of the congregation, of the people of God. You see this in verse 14, where the Apostle Paul says, of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord. So the same things which the Apostle Paul charged Timothy with, the Apostle Paul also now told Timothy to charge God's people in the same. So these lessons are very much applicable for us. Now for our study, for our evening messages, we just merely want to focus on one verse, verse 15, where Apostle Paul will describe this very one important duty as a pastor and as a Christian. What is this duty? He will identify Timothy and the ministry of a pastor as a workman. So in verse 15, the Apostle Paul says that he has to study to show himself, or show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So I have entitled the night messages based on this theme of the workman. And for our first message this evening, we want to consider the workman's duty. If we are workmen of the Lord, what is our duty? This workman is not only for pastors, but it's for every Christian, because the same thing which Timothy has learned, he has to teach God's people the same. So we too are to be workmen of the Lord. But if we are workmen of the Lord, what is to be our duty? Now the appeal of the Apostle Paul here is a very urgent, a very sincere and passionate appeal. He says, first of all, study to show thyself approved unto God. And the first thought that we want to see is the thought of diligence. What is the workman's duty? He is to be diligent. Now the word study here that you see in verse 15 is sometimes misunderstood. Now I've heard how this verse is sometimes quoted, where there are friends who would want to encourage another friend in his studies, that is, his studies in school. And then they will quote this verse and they will say, in your studies, in the midst of your studies, make sure you are studying to show yourself approved unto God. So sometimes we hear this verse quoted in such a manner, applied to students who are studying to make sure that they are studying to show themselves approved unto God. But actually, that is a misunderstanding of this verse. Now, the word study here in English, okay, let's consider the English word first. This word study in English is actually an old English word. Now, we know that words changes its meaning through time. But the old meaning of this word study actually has the idea of zeal and painstaking application. That's the meaning of the English word study, that is an old English word. Hey, this word literally means to be zealous and to put in painstaking effort. That is the meaning. So when we use the word study, we should think of it in terms of how it was used during the 17th century when the King James translator translated the Bible from Greek into English. The idea that they were trying to bring out is very accurate and is the same idea as the Greek word. Because the Greek word here, study, comes from the word which means to hurry up. It has the idea of speeding up, to hasten, to be eager. It is a word of urgency. Now, in other words, what the Apostle Paul is saying here is not that we should read books, okay? Not in terms of studying, that is reading books to show ourselves approved unto God. That is not the idea that he's actually bringing across here. The idea that he's bringing across here is to be eager, make haste, make an effort to show yourself approved unto God. And this word is a word of urgency. When you look at the epistle of Apostle Paul to Timothy, that is his second epistle, you will see how he describes the urgency of the times. Now, several times through this epistle, he will make mention of the times being the last days. For example, when you look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, the same epistle, but the next chapter, in verse 1, Apostle Paul make mention of the times, and he says that these times are the last days. This know also that in the last days, perilous times, troublesome times, dangerous times shall come. Now, when you go further, when you go to chapter 4, the same epistle, and you look at verse 3, Apostle Paul also says, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts, they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And also in verse 6, Apostle Paul says, I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. So when Apostle Paul urged Timothy to make haste, see the urgency of the times, it was because he was struck by how limited time is left for him. He was so aware and conscious of the urgency of the time which they were living in. Now, if Apostle Paul wrote this epistle at least or slightly around 2,000 years ago, and he saw the urgencies of the time, then how much more we also have to see the urgency of the time. Why is there a need to receive the word of God? Because the time is very urgent. Do you see the urgency of the time today? Now, there was an urgency of the time in the days of the Apostle Paul because of persecution. This epistle was written during a time where there was a great persecution brought upon the church by this wicked Roman Emperor Nero. What Nero did was that he actually burned Rome. Now, historians believe that the reason, or one of the reasons why he actually burned Rome, was because he wanted to remove the poorer quarters in Rome in order to build more expensive and more beautiful houses and buildings in Rome. And so one of the things that he did was to burn Rome. But of course, after burning Rome, he faced oppositions from the Romans. And his solution to that problem was he blamed the Christians. And that led to great persecutions upon Christians. He managed to convince the people that it was the Christians who burned Rome. And as a result of that, the Romans started hunting down Christians to persecute them. And this was the time which Apostle Paul lived in. Now, some historians do believe that it was under the hand of Nero, that wicked emperor, that Apostle Paul was executed. Now, if this is true, and most probably it is, then you can imagine what kind of times the Christians were living in. Such perilous times, such dangerous times. They do not know when would their last time they can meet together for worship. They do not know when it would be that they may be taken away or their families may be taken away. They cannot worship in liberty. They cannot gather together and for the preaching of the gospel with the kind of freedom that we have today. Those were the kind of times that they were living in, very dangerous and perilous times. It's no wonder the Apostle Paul therefore says, be eager, be diligent to show yourself approved unto God. Now, we may not be living in such times where we are facing this kind of persecutions as the days of the Apostle Paul, where he faced this kind of persecutions. But nevertheless, the struggles that we face are no less severe and no less great to these times the Apostle Paul lived in. The persecutions come to us through different forms. Today, persecutions may not be of the whole nation, but it may be amongst families, and it can also come through friends. Sometimes the devil also uses not so much persecutions in our age and time, but enticement, the luring away. If persecution does not work in the life of the church to stop God's people from seeking the Lord, then the devil would use the enticing methods, the attractions of the world, to lure us away from seeking God. But whatever the case is, are we not also living in such perilous times? Now, there are other characteristics which the Apostle Paul used to describe these perilous times. He describes these perilous times as the times where there are false teachers. False teaching creeping into the church. And when we look at our time today, more than ever, we also see this kind of false teachings, errors abounding. No, it's very difficult to study contemporary theology in this regard, because we have to keep updating the kind of errors, the kind of falsehood that is being spread throughout Christianity. What kind of dangerous times are we living in? Now, Apostle Paul identifies some of the characteristics. What is the opposite of being urgent? What is the opposite of hasting on unto godliness and holiness? Apostle Paul did identify some of these things. You notice in verse 16, now this is not a verse which we read earlier on, but just look at verse 16. Because in contrast with the appeal to live in urgency of the times, Apostle Paul says there are some people who are now engaging in profane and vain babbling. So he now encouraged Timothy, telling him to shun profane and vain babblings. But this is a contrast. What is the opposite of being urgent? It is to engage in profane talk and vain babblings. Now, the idea of the word profane describes something that is devoid of any real significance. Of course, in the context here, it also describes something that is ungodly. But something that is profane describes something that is empty. And it ties in with the next word. He says, avoid, shun, vain babblings. These are empty sound and fruitless talk. Because these things will only increase in ungodliness. Now the word ungodliness here is again explained in verse 17. What kind of ungodliness? He says this kind of ungodliness is like canker. You see in verse 17, Apostle Paul says, their word will eat as doth a canker. Now this word canker describes gangrene, describes the spreading of rottenness. And he says, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus? Now what is the opposite of having this sense of urgency and eagerness to show ourselves approved unto God? Is where many would stand around engaging in profane and vain talk that would spread rottenness among the body of Christ. Are we not seeing this in our church, in Christianity today? Is this not why there's an urgency of the time? Which is easier to spread? Is it godliness or is it rottenness? Now, if you see how urgent this time is, then will you not be diligent? Because this word to study has the idea of diligence. Not just an urgency, not just an eagerness, but it describes a diligence. Now this word study is written in the imperative, meaning it is a command. And Apostle Paul was commanding Timothy to now be diligent to show himself approved unto God. That is, he must make every effort to put in the energy to strive for in showing himself approved unto God. Now it's very fitting with the various pictures which the Apostle Paul used earlier on. Now just some of the pictures which he used earlier are the pictures of a soldier in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Earlier on in verse 3, Apostle Paul says, now therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Then later, he would again describe this picture of diligence as an athlete. In verse 5, if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. The picture here is a picture of an athlete. And then he again used another picture, the picture of a husbandman. That is a farmer. In verse 6, the husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. And you notice that three of these pictures that are used are pictures that describes hard work, labor, diligence, effort. And this is the thought that Apostle Paul says that we need to think about as Christians. To be diligent, to be disciplined follower of our masters. We cannot be lazy today. The devil will keep on fighting. He will keep on sending voices and people to influence. He will continue in his warfare against the Lord Jesus Christ. He will continue in his warfare against the church. And if the devil is laboring so hard to destroy God's church, the devil has a cause. He wants to see God's people perishing. He wants to see the world heading down into hell. He wants to see God's people ineffective for the cause of Christ. He wants to tarnish the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The devil has this cause. And the devil is laboring very hard and diligently to bring down Christ's church, to bring down his name. Now, if the devil is doing that, how can God's people not labor even more diligently? How can we not strive for the cause of Christ? I mean, of course, we know that God will remain all glorious. We know that the Lord Jesus Christ can defend his own glory. He can even use animals to profess his own glory, to speak his word and his truth. He can even use creation to show his greatness and his wisdom. But God has chosen you and me through whom to show forth and to shine forth his glory. How can his disciples not be diligent for the cause of Christ? Have you been lazy in the things of God? I mean, think about this very practically, just in a very practical manner. Have we been lazy, tired, dragging our feet whenever it comes to the things of God? Now, it's very sad that we are often more diligent in matters of the world. No doubt, we often say that this is a calling that God has given to us. God has called us to be a student. God has called us to be a worker in this place or that place. And because we have to be faithful to that calling, we work very hard. But if you are really so faithful to the Lord's calling for you, has he stopped calling you to be a Christian? And why is it that we are often not diligent, not striving, not making every effort to show ourselves approved unto God? Would you be diligent in making your calling and election sure? Would you be diligent to be found of Christ, to be without spot and blameless? Be diligent as a soldier. So this is the first thought that the Apostle Paul brings to Timothy. The workman's duty is he must strive earnestly, urgently, to show himself approved unto God because of the urgency of the time. But what are we to strive for? What are we to be urgent unto? Right, we keep speaking of being diligent. We keep saying that there must be this eagerness. But what is this eagerness unto? Now, the eagerness here is to show. And that's the next thought. Apostle Paul says that we must have this readiness. So there must be this eagerness, the diligence, and there must be this readiness. And that comes from the word to show. So Apostle Paul says, study to show. Now the idea of the word show here has the idea of being ready, of being prepared. And he has the idea of being prepared to present yourself. Hey, that is to show. This is why the King James translated this word as to show, because you are being ready to present yourself. I remember in the army, as I believe with those who have served national service, you will always remember that there's one very important part of our daily routine in the army. It's not the sleeping part, okay? That's also a very important part. Okay, the sleeping part is an important part, but there's another very important part that is a part of our daily routine in the army, and that is the standby. There is the standby bed, there's the standby bunk, there's a standby universe. You know, the standby universe is where we stand by the toilet, the dormitories, the bunks, the corridor, standby everything. Okay, that is standby universe. So standby bed is where every morning in the army for the guys, we have to be on standby, where there will be an inspection, may or may not have an inspection, but they will always claim that there may be an inspection. Then we would make our bed. We have to make sure our bed sheet is spread in such a way and pulled in such a way where you can bounce a coin on top of it. Things like that. Then make sure all our clothings are folded in a certain way, all laid out in the cupboard. This is standby. And we know that sometimes the sergeant, although we have standby every day, the sergeant will not appear. They will not come. Sometimes they say they will come, but they don't come in the end. But we will never know whether this morning they will come or not. And if we think that they are not coming this morning, and then they come and check our dorm and our bunks, and they find that things are not in order, then they would make the room a mess. Right? They would pull out your bed sheets, they would take out all your clothing and everything and make you clean it up all over again. Things like that. So somehow all of us are very eager and nervous during this standby. We want to make sure that everything is clean, everything is proper. This is a standby that we experience daily. And this is the idea that the Apostle Paul is really using here. It fits in with the picture of being a soldier, where we are really being diligent and on standby, ready to present ourselves, ready to be called upon, ready to go forth into war. Are you presenting yourself as a ready soldier unto the Lord every moment of every day? Now, one thing we like to do often, and this word is interesting because we often like to show others approved unto God. You notice Apostle Paul says here, study to show thyself. Because the call is for each one of us to present ourselves. Now, this thought is not a selfish thought. But Apostle Paul is asking us to make sure of ourselves first. He's not saying that we should be selfish and arrogant and not care for others, but he's saying that this should be our primary concern for ourselves first, that to make sure that we are on standby to be able to show ourselves approved unto God first. Because we are very quick to put others on standby. We are very quick to show others and to present others before God, and then to point out how this person is unpresentable before the Lord, how this person is not ready before the Lord. It's very easy to be a critique of others. And sometimes when you watch cooking shows, then you have like judges who would critique the cooking of expert chefs. And actually many of these judges who critique, they themselves are not very good cook. Or they may cook a little bit, but they are not very good cook. See, it does not take a good cook to critique. Of course, it takes a good cook to critique well. Okay? But it does not take a good cook to critique. A person who does not know anything about food can just, if you ask him to, say something about food. Whether accurate or not, whether good or not, doesn't matter. He can just simply say something. Oh, I don't know. It doesn't taste nice. Okay, can you elaborate? Just not nice. Can just be a critic. It's very easy to criticize and critique others. But Apostle Paul tells us, why are you so concerned about presenting others before the Lord? Study first and foremost to show yourself. Have you presented your bodies a living sacrifice, acceptable unto God, because that's your reasonable service? Are you on standby, standing by the altar, where your life is ready as a living sacrifice offered unto the Lord? It is often said, the problem of a living sacrifice for many Christians today is that we want to run away from the altar. Now, when the Apostle Paul tells us to present our bodies a living sacrifice, he's telling us that we are still alive, we have life that God has given to us, and it means that we must have a readiness to serve. But instead, we often take the living sacrifice to mean that we can run away from the altar. Are you ready, on standby, presenting yourself before the Lord? Be diligent to do that. Just like how in the army, it is a daily routine. It is a part of our life to make sure the dormitories are clean. So should not it be for us as Christians to make sure of our own daily walk? Now, practically speaking, are you diligent in your daily walk with the Lord? Is this the first thing that you would do every morning to spend time in prayer, seeking the Lord, to depend on His grace, His wisdom, and His strength for the day? Do you seek His wisdom through His Word? Are you diligent in making sure that everything is set in order first before you go forth into the rest of the matters through the day? Are you on standby, presenting yourself before the Lord? Now, this presenting of ourselves definitely has an eye also on the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, where we are ready to show ourselves approved unto God when the Lord Jesus Christ returns for us. How ready are you for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? Present yourself. But what are we to present ourselves unto? And that is the third thought that the Apostle Paul now brings across here, where he tells us to present yourself approved unto God. That is, seek God's approval. Now, one thing that we have in the army, using the same theme of the soldier, is that there is this thing called the show parade. So not only do we have a standby where we have to stand by, bait and things like that, in the army, there's also this thing called the show parade. Now, the show parade is practiced in some unit or in some schools where once a month, you know, because the commanding officer, he just enjoys having the whole school or the unit march before him. He will have this show parade where once a month he would ask the unit to fall in, and then they will have a march past, things like that. You know, so it's basically like your National Day parade. Okay, then they, you know, the National Day after the various contingents comes out, then they would have this march past. So the highest ranking officer in the school or the unit may just stand up on like this podium, and then he would see the whole unit marching past him. And I don't know, of course, everybody seeks to impress this high-ranking officer. You know, at times also, like National Day, as the president would go down to the various contingents, and then he would walk, and then he would check and inspect their uniforms. So sometimes these high-ranking officers would do that as well. And then we all want to impress him. We are not seeking to impress anyone else, not our comrades, not our friends, but we all seek to impress this person. Now, actually, I do not know why when we were doing it, we always want to impress him. I do not know, if I try to think back now, why did I want to impress him? Actually, I do not know. I think my idea was not, I want to impress him, but rather, I don't want to get punished. Hey, that seems to be foremost in my mind at that time. Okay, I do not want to be punished, so I make sure I do everything properly. Okay, but at times, yeah, we still also think this way. Yeah, I want to impress this high-ranking officer who is seeing how I march, seeing how I dress. And that is the idea of the approval that you are seeking. But now the question is, whose approval are you seeking? Apostle Paul tells us that we have to study to present ourselves approved unto God. That is, we really are concerned for God's approval at the end of the day. We are not so much concerned as what men may think of us in terms of the things that we say and do. Now, don't get me wrong. This does not mean that our testimony is not important. But our first concern is what God thinks of us. Of course, this thought is sometimes abused, where some people say that, oh, I only care for what God thinks of me. I don't care what people think of me. That is abused. Because if you truly care for what God thinks of you, then you would care also for your testimony in terms of the name of Christ and the example that you set and that you show before others. But you're not trying to seek their approval. You're not trying to impress them. Your concern is still first and foremost the approval of God. And because you seek to approve God, you seek the approval of God, you want to be a good testimony to others. But is this the approval that you seek? Now, this word approve that is described here has the idea of something being tested. Someone or something being put through the test, and after testing it, then it's found to be genuine. It's found to be real. This is the testing. And the Bible here speaks of the testing of our lives, where we receive God's stamp, where God has tested us, looked at us, and find us to be real, genuine. We are who we say we are. Is your life and the life that you are living real before God? Now, there are some whose life that they live is a lie. You know, this truth actually guards against hypocrisy. Because what is hypocrisy? It's living a life of a lie. When you're so concerned about what man thinks of you, you're so interested in their applause and the approval, that you live one life before men and another life in secret. You know, I believe actually who you really are is the kind of life that you are living in secret, where nobody sees, nobody knows. Nobody is checking your daily routine or your practices, what you do. Now, in church camp, it's quite interesting because you all have roommates, you know, and friends often take this opportunity to not stay with their family and then stay with their friends. Yeah, I do not know whether that's a good thing or not, but that's what young people sometimes like to do. And I wonder, when good friends stay together, do they really get a good picture or an accurate picture of who you really are? Well, sometimes maybe you should check with your friend's parents. Hey, this person is very neat, you know. Actually, he's very tidy. Everything, well, very proper. And then if you check with the parents says, oh, I think you're living with a different person. Then something must be wrong. But sometimes it is like that. This is the kind of hypocrisy. I mean, we are talking about just in camp and the roommates that we have. But I wonder whether in life it is like that as well. Now, in secret, we don't pray. In secret, we are not interested in the things of God. In secret, we are lazy. In secret, we fool around. But then in public, before others, because we want their approval. We want the approval of the leaders of the church. We want the approval of the pastor of the church. We want the approval of friends. Then we present a different life. But your concern should be God, because God is the one who tests. God is the one who will see whether your life is genuine, your life is real. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Now, it will be most disappointing if, having lived your life for these many years, the Lord willing, 70, 80 years, you, at the end of your life, realize that the life that you have been living is a lie. It's fake. When it is brought before God's test, God says that you just have been hypocrite. You have been very eloquent. You have been very clever in speech. You have a show of fervency, but it's all not real. We need to learn to live for an audience of one, where the approval that we seek is really, finally, God's approval. Now, for a pastor, that's especially important. A pastor like young Timothy. Because when you start seeking the approval of men, the way you interact with men, the things that you may say over the pulpit may begin to change. You will become afraid to offend certain people. Which is why Apostle Paul warned of various false teachers who will only seek to scratch the itching ears of the congregation of God's people. At times, these may be immature or rebellious children of God. And this is why Apostle Paul had to warn Timothy, make sure you study, you are diligent to show yourself approved unto God. Don't be a man pleaser. You know, in the army, when we talk about standby bed, making our bed and things like that, we are only seeking the approval of men. And if the sergeant doesn't turn up, and if we know that the sergeant is not going to turn up, I suspect that perhaps we will not be doing our standby bed. Now, I always remember this illustration that someone, or this incident that someone shared once. It's talking about, you know, the character of Singaporeans. Now, this person was sharing how when he was traveling to Malaysia once, in Singapore, we are all very neat and tidy. We we do not litter, we dare not throw litter here and there. But he said that as he was driving up to Malaysia once, now he saw a Singaporean car in front of him. And just as the car passed the checkpoint, he saw this Singaporean car winding down the window and throwing out a banana skin after he passed the checkpoint. And he was wondering why. In Singapore, we don't do it because we are afraid we'll get fined. You see, the thing is that, what does this show? This show that cleanliness is not really part of us. Okay, at least of that person who threw out the banana, right? It's not really him. It's not really who he is. He only keeps clean because he's afraid of getting caught. He only keeps clean because he's afraid of the fine, of the law. It's not really a part of him. So when he goes to another country where he thinks, at least, that now nobody cares, then he just winds down the window and throw it out. And that is very irresponsible behavior. But I think that many of us are also like that when it comes to Christianity and religion. Are we truly seeking and pursuing after godliness and holiness? If we are truly born again, then it must be so. Because we know that holiness is worked in us by the Holy Spirit. It's not something that we produce of ourselves, something that we create. We know that the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance, faith, all these things are also worked in us by the Holy Spirit. It's not something that we merely try to engineer or produce by ourselves. The problem is that at times, we wrongly think that these virtues are worked from outside in. Where we think that we can use laws to govern certain behavior, and we try to, from outside in, work out these virtues of godliness, of holiness, of temperance. But when the heart is not changed, then when no one is watching, no one is seeing, we present ourselves so differently. Now, but if your heart is truly transformed and changed, if your chief concern is the approval of God, is to please God, then naturally all these other virtues would flow. Whose approval have you been seeking? Do you realize that the person you want to please makes such a big difference to how you live? So who do you want to please? Are you eager, desiring, hasting on in pleasing your God? Are you eager, desiring in presenting yourself, in standing by, ready to heed the call of the Lord wherever He calls you and wherever He leads you? Now, as we study this theme of receiving the Word of God, it begins first with this. What is your duty? What is your call? It is to be a diligent workman who seeks to present himself daily approved unto God, where you long for the stamp of approval from the Lord. You want to find yourself accepted of the Lord, even if men were to reject you. And the Apostle Paul was rejected by many. And Timothy would perhaps soon also face similar rejections. And perhaps even in the church, with false teachers creeping in, what a challenge he would face. But if you seek only the approval of the Lord, then how happy we would be. And the way we can do that is to constantly receive God's word. And that's what we are going to consider on, because Apostle Paul did not end there. He would then tell us now, okay, if you want to study to show ourselves approved unto God, and that is your desire, then how? How can I now make haste? How can I be diligent to show myself approved unto God? He would then go on and tell us, we need to rightly divide the word of truth. But we'll consider that in the next few evenings. Let us pray. O Lord, our God, We are indeed living in such perilous times. When we look at the world around us, when we read the news, we see how troublesome a time we are living in. Even when we look at our own lives and we see the various afflictions that people are facing, we also are reminded that time is short. O Lord, help us not to be complacent where we are. Help us not to be lulled into a state of weariness, of tardiness, but help us ever to be eager, to be hasting on, to be striving to show ourselves approved unto Thee. We thank Thee that Thou hast called us to be Thy children. As Thy children, Thou hast granted to us Thy Holy Spirit, which works righteousness in us, which sanctifies us. And O Lord, even as we strive unto holiness, we thank Thee that this striving is not done by our wisdom or our strength alone, but we thank Thee it is Thy grace, it is Thy enabling, which constantly works in us. So Lord, even as we seek to present ourselves holy and blameless before Thee, we thank Thee that Thou hast first chosen us and received us unto Thyself. We pray for the rest of this camp as we seek to learn of Thy Word, to know Thee more and more. We pray for Thy people that Thou will grant us a receptive heart, heart that is willing and ready to receive Thy Word. Grant us a good night's rest, and as we return tomorrow for the listening of Thy Word, we pray that Thou will give us fresh mind and an eager heart to seek Thee in Thy Word. We pray and we thank Thee for all these things, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.